Good afternoon. Just finished with walkthrough. Today we have short yardage and goal line in practice, so we walked through that to make sure we fine-tuned a few things on both phases. And actually, I'm really looking forward to getting back to that short yardage and goal line. And I think when you do that, it adds a special emphasis of toughness, a special emphasis. You know that, hey, the offense is going to run the ball, and you know exactly where they're going to run it, and you got to stop it. So I always look forward to that and to see how mentally tough our guys are, and they've shown that they are. So another test for us today in practice, and we look forward to seeing them compete.
Alan, what's your evaluation of Desmond getting back on the field and how he did?
I thought he had a good day of practice yesterday. He, of course, the guys are calling him Fresh Legs since he's been out for a little bit, and he moved around and had some good run fits in 9-on-7 and some of the team runs. So it looks like he hadn't missed a beat, and I'd expect that of a veteran such as him, that a little bit of time off did not hurt him in any means.
He hasn't played in so long. I mean, what are your expectations for him on if he plays on Friday?
Just that he goes out and executes the defense. I know that there'll still be some rust on him in terms of live football, but we still have 3 weeks to go and time, so time is on our side in that respect. So I'm not going to put on any undue pressure on him. Just let him compete, and he's doing that. He's a professional. He comes to the meetings. He sits up front. He asks good questions. Out on the football field, he's attentive whether he's in or out, and so I'm just going to wait and see and let him do what he does, which is play good football.
Coach, what's the latest on the status of Sharif Floyd and Adi Cole? They were both held out yesterday. Do you expect to practice today?
They were out. I think, in my estimation, just precautionary, that, again, we have time on our side. We have 3 weeks left, and no reason to beat the guys up now, and so I expect them to practice today. I'm not quite sure how much they'll practice, but they'll be out and suited up.
Alan, when guys have like hamstrings and groin injuries and they're coming back, how much do you get involved in monitoring their reps, or is that all handled by the medical staff? They tell you how many you can run? And
yeah, I don't at all. I leave it up to the medical staff. They're the professionals. That's what they do, and they kind of let the position coaches know, hey, we want them to go individual. We want them to go so many reps or snaps, and be cautious, be aware. But they're the professionals, so I let them take care of that and let them tell me what guys can do.
Xavier, I'm sure he's probably standing on that for a week, going, yeah, everybody's thinking I'm not hurt. And they want to come back. You know, do you tell them that, be honest with the injury and take your time, or how does it?
Well, really with anyone, I tell the guys to start to get to know your body so that you're telling people how you feel rather than someone else telling you how you feel and what you should do. And so get to know your body, know how your body works, know your limits. And then the other thing is, as you start to become a professional, know how to practice when you're not 100%. So if you're tight one day or you're not feeling great one day, that you don't go out and full sprint and hurt yourself. So, and also to be able to be honest with me, because it'll come up during the season where you'll have to make a decision. We'll come to a player and ask, hey, can you go this week? Can you go today in the ball game? And we need a player to be able to tell us, coach, I'm ready to go. I may not be 100%, but I'm ready to go. And they're able to finish a ball game rather than, coach, I'm ready to go. And then after two series, hey, I can't go anymore. So it that's a learning process too, with being a professional, knowing your body and knowing how long your body will hold out for you or hold up for you.
What does Bishop need to show you still that he has or can assimilate and can be a productive member of that core?
Like anyone else, just first of all, can he get lined up? Can he do his job? When a play comes at him, can he make a play? Not give up any big plays, and then see how many splash plays he can make. Plays that aren't necessarily his play or great plays. And so really in that order, and it's not just Bishop, that's all the guys that are competing for a spot or guys that we've penciled in as the starters. So it goes in that order, and that's the same thing for all the guys.
There's got to be a little bit more scrutiny. scrutiny on what he's able to do because he's missed a year, his health as well, and the fact that that's a position that he addressed.
No, not really. Yeah, not really. And that's with the starters also, or guys that may not have started last year. We just want to see our guys available and then go down the line with that criteria. We don't want to treat anyone any differently or say that, hey, he's got to be Superman in there. We don't need that. We need guys to do their job, to be able to understand the defense, be able to compete. And, again, can they not give up big plays and make splash plays? I know maybe other people may say that, hey, he's got to be Superman, but no, he just has to do his job.
Alan, from week one to week two, like preseason, you played a lot of younger guys last Friday. Mm-hmm. Getting ready for week two, your thoughts on going ahead to week two?
Yeah, well, first of all, I want them to make sure that the good things that we did, the things that we did well, that we keep doing those things. And I thought we tackled well. I thought the guys showed some self-control and mental toughness as far as no penalties. I thought the sideline organization was good, which in preseason it can get kind of crazy out there with the different bodies, different personnel groupings going in. So I want them to make sure they keep doing that. The first group came out there, and I thought they followed their rules, especially on a game that you're not as concerned with game planning the team, but you just want to make sure you follow your rules, and they did that. The first half, we had, I think it was something like maybe we held them to 18 yards rushing. And so I wanted to make sure that they know those are the things they did well and to keep doing that. And going into the second game, we want to continue to build on team chemistry, continue to build on communication, continue to build on running the defense and executing the defense and hustling. The guys hustled. I think some improvements, we need to turn the ball over. That's been a point of emphasis all camp, and we got to take the ball away. Offenses are doing a better job of making sure they're not putting themselves in bad situations, and but with that, we still have to take it away. And so that'll be a big point of emphasis, that we need to get the ball back to our offense and score on defense. There's no reason why we shouldn't score on defense ourselves. Coach Frazier, in the last couple of weeks, talked about when a defense scores, you're likely to win 75% of the time. So I like those odds. So we want to make sure we get ourselves in the end zone. And I think we can do that.
How much can you really teach those turnovers, and how much of it is just instinct?
Well, part of it is instinct. I'm not going to discount that. But part of it is hustling to the football, that every guy is expected to run to the ball. And so when the ball is on the ground, we have more bodies around it. Mathematically, we have a better chance to get the football. And that's why we preach the last guy hustling to the football. And we talk to it about being smart runners, that we're not overrunning the football, that if you're backside, that you're attacking the inside hip so the ball carrier doesn't cut back and take the distance. So some of it is instinct, some of it is hustle, and some of it is making sure that you're playing smart football.
How much could Bishop help you there? He obviously had a nose for the ball a little bit in Green Bay, was able to force some turnovers. How much of that part of his game are you looking to see in these next couple weeks here?
I hadn't even really thought about that part of it as much as I have how he'll function in our defense. That's probably the biggest thing. And one thing that we want to make sure that we do is we want to make sure we're playing Viking football and not necessarily where you came from football, and make sure guys assimilate to what we want to do. And all the guys that have come here, we've something that's important to us is high character guys, and the guys that we have that come in, they don't come in and say, you know what, coach, this is how I was successful somewhere else. They want to know what we want them to do to be successful here in Minnesota and be a part of the team. And everybody that we've brought in has done that. So we want them to just be a Viking football player.
And Coach Williams,
how have you kind of evaluated Marvin Mitchell so far at that weak side spot?
Very pleased with Marvin. He's taken steps forward from last year. I think Marvin feels more comfortable being around and part of the guys. And we're seeing the leadership qualities of Marvin come out not only on defense but also on special teams, which is a good thing. I think you can't have enough good leaders, and Marvin's playing good ball for us. Hopefully we'll get more base defense this week and not as much nickel as we did last week with that first group. So it'll be a test for Marvin as well as the other guys to see how our base defense holds up.
Alan, can you just describe the problems that you face as a defensive coordinator when you face an offense that has two big pass catching tight ends, mm-hmm. sort of like what the Vikings want to try and do with Carlson or Rudolph? When you're preparing for that, what problems does it present?
Well, if guys are one-dimensional, that's not as big of a deal if they're big guys. It's when you have big guys that can run and block, and then you have to match them up usually with someone that a linebacker that can fit up the run as well as cover them in the pass. So if you have just one guy that's one-dimensional, whether it's a big blocking tight end or a big receiving tight end, not as problematic as a dual threat. And so when you have a dual threat guy, you have to decide, do I want to put a defensive back in there for coverage, or do I want to put a linebacker in there for run-stopping ability? So with that, you have to pick your poison. And sometimes it's based on down and distance, how you want to handle that as in terms of who goes in the ball game.
Do you put a safety on the other?
Usually it's a nickel on one and maybe a safety on the other and leave the linebackers in the box for the run.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.